Well, my brothers and sisters in Christ, it's a great mystery why Jesus, the Son of God made man, had to suffer at the hands of wicked men and die on a cross. Why would someone who had healed many sick people, restored sight to the blind, cast out demons from the possessed, and preached a message that people called good news, have to suffer and die? That's a mystery. It all begins with God's decision to create human beings, or to create beings with endowed with a genuine freedom, rather than just have robots. God gave both human beings and angels the gift of free will. We're supposed to use that gift to do good, as St. James reminds us in the second reading. But both human beings and angelic ones often use their freedom to do evil things. From betrayals of marriage vows to abortion to street violence and wars, we have produced much evil in a world that God pronounced good. There are physical evils, too, that hurt our people. Cancers, injuries, fires, and storms. Well, what can be done to overcome this profound derailment of God's plan for his creatures? This is where Jesus Christ enters in. He is the very Son of God who assumed a true human nature and lived among us. He came to overcome the dominion of evil. Like a giant sponge, he soaked up all of the world's evil by accepting the cruel suffering of the cross and an unjust death. Instead of putting evildoers to death, he let them put him to death, so that death might die in him through the power of his divine life. Then he revealed the power of that divine life by rising from the dead on the third day, thereby overcoming the world's heritage of sin and death and freeing us from both. And when he returns in glory, I'd love to be around on that day. Some people will. But when he returns in glory, he will abolish death forever and judge the good with mercy and the bad with justice. God's creation will be restored to its original goodness. But you know, that's a hard thing to accept. Peter, as blessed as he was to recognize Jesus as the Messiah promised by God, took him aside and began to rebuke him. How could the Messiah suffer and die? But Jesus knew what he had to do. He in turn rebuked Peter. "Get behind me, Satan." In other words, you're doing Satan's work, not God's. "Get behind me, Satan. You're not thinking as God does, but as human beings do. God's ways are truly different from ours. It's only by God's ways that this world of ours is saved from sin and death and total destruction. God's justice requires that evil be punished, so someone has to accept the punishment. The marvel is that God himself chose to accept that punishment in the place of evildoers. He could then extend his mercy to sinners, since the debt had been paid. If this is God's way of thinking, we might scratch our heads and wonder, but standing on the sidelines, we might think, well, we're safe. But God insists that we get in the game. Jesus says, "Whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." If we want to be his disciples and benefit from his victory over sin and death, we have to imitate his willingness to suffer unjustly and die to our selfishness. "Whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and that of the gospel will save it." Like Peter, I think most of us, maybe all of us, find this initially incomprehensible. But the Lord assures us that this is the way, God's way, that we extend through time and space Jesus' victory over evil. We become like little sponges soaking up evil by not responding to violence with violence, by not responding to lies with lies, but not responding to betrayals with further betrayals. We refuse to spread evil. Jesus tells us to stand up to the injustices and lack of mercy in our world, no matter what it costs us. In this light, the role of the police and firefighters and first responders whom we honor this night and pray for, their role contributes to overcoming evil. And you who exercise those safety professions stand against physical evils such as fires and injuries, and moral evils such as crime. You do not do so in the abstract, but in the concrete situations you encounter every day. You do it with the constant risk that evil may strike you down as it did Jesus, while you are trying to save people's lives and establish peace and security in our neighborhoods. When I was an auxiliary bishop in Baltimore, I went to the funeral of a Catholic firefighter who died trying to put out a raging fire. I have talked with the son of a police officer who died trying to get people out of one of the twin towers the terrorists destroyed September 11th, 2001. There's a monument at Heritage Port to the firefighters who have died in service to the people of the city. While we fervently pray that God will protect you from harm, we and you know the danger exists and the evil you are trying to overcome could kill you. Nonetheless, you don't run away, but continue to serve the public. And for this, we are grateful. For those of us who find the figure of Jesus attractive and want to follow him in freedom from sin and death, faith must not remain inert, but be energetic in good works. St. James asks, "What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? So faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead." Our police, firefighters, and first responders are engaged in good works. They reveal their faith in Jesus, who, as St. Peter later said, understanding things better, huh? Jesus went about doing good and healing all those who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. You who serve us in those safety professions are not merely following orders to get a paycheck, but you're sharing in Christ's work to overcome many forms of evil. As President John Kennedy said, on earth, God's work must truly be our own. I hope you sense the larger purpose of your work and trust that God is with you. We all confront the mystery of evil doing its will in a world that God made good. Our Christian faith is that God is stronger than all moral and physical evils and has already defeated them in principle through the saving work of his Son. But like an army that has lost a battle but is still fighting as it retreats, evil demons and evil people are still capable of afflicting us. We must have the confidence that, sustained by God's grace, we can fight back and share in Christ's victory as we refuse to let evil have its way. When we are willing to deny our selfish impulses and take up the cross of suffering on behalf of others, we die to self but live to God. A just and merciful God will not forget us. It will receive us with open arms when our earthly work is done.